The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
So who do you think should be amongst the world's most famous women? One website listed their list, saying Princess Diana was number one. Number four would be Madonna, the singer. Number five, Mary Magdalene. That's curious. Number seven, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. Number 10, Marilyn Monroe. I went to the Woman's Day website. They should know. They had an entirely different list of the world's most famous women. In fact, every list of famous women differed from every other list of famous women. Now, there are famous women of the Bible. You've got Miriam, the sister of Moses. Deborah was a good judge. There are two Old Testament books named for Ruth and Esther, both noble, godly women. Sarah, we've already studied, is ranked number two as Abraham's wife. We studied Rebecca, who's ranked number three, the wife of Isaac. And that just names a few of the 20 famous women of the Bible. Well, there were several famous bad girls in the Bible as well. Like Eve was the first bad girl. Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph of wrongdoing. Then you've got David's wife, Michal, who cursed God. Lot's wife became a pillar in her community. That's right, you got it. The cunning of Delilah, the pride of Jezebel, and the list goes on. But there are some who do bad for a season, for a while, but not forever. And that's today's story about a bad girl turned good girl. In James 2, it says, in the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in different direction. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is going to be filled with people that you would not suspect will be there from all different walks of life and backgrounds. John said in Revelation 7:9, I saw a vast crowd too great to count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing in front of the throne before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. So saints are going to come from every walk of life. And if you belong to Jesus, you know he's removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. How far is east from west? That means the sins are gone. In fact, God says, I will forgive their wickedness and never again remember their sins. That's better than forgiveness. That's forget. Hebrews 11, verse 30, compares and contrasts two polar opposites, and that's Joshua and Rahab. Hebrews 11, 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days by Joshua and the sons of Israel. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, was not destroyed along with those who were disobedient because she had welcomed the spies sent by the sons of Israel in peace. Joshua and Rahab, how different can you get? Both were saved. They were remembered and rewarded for their faith. And we're going to unpack that today. It started with two of God's commanders meeting near Jericho, the city. The head of Israel's army met the head of heaven's army, Joshua 5:13. While Joshua was near Jericho, he suddenly saw a man standing in front of him holding a sword. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you one of our soldiers or an enemy? Neither, the man answered. I am here as commander of the Lord's army. Joshua threw himself on the ground in worship and said, I'm your servant, sir. What do you want me to do? The commander of the Lord's army told him, take your sandals off. You're standing on holy ground. Joshua did as he was told. Now, asking, whose side are you on, God, is not a good question to ask, because God is on God's side. Whose side are we on? That should be the question we're concerned with. And holy ground that this being says that they were on, holy ground is wherever God is. Moses was commanded to take off his sandals, remember, when he stood in front of the burning bush, because God said, take off your sandals, you're standing on holy ground. God was there. The apostle John was repeatedly forbidden to worship an angel, once in Revelation 19 and once in Revelation 22. In the 19th chapter, John said, I knelt at the feet of the angel, began to worship him, but the angel said, don't do that. I'm a servant just like you and everyone else who tells about Jesus. Don't worship anyone but God. Well, John kind of forgot. By Revelation 22, I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said, don't worship me. I'm a servant of God just like you. Worship only God. And angels have said through the scriptures, don't worship anyone but God. But the one that Joshua worshiped, accepted his worship, meaning that he was God. And that being is identified two different times as a man. The man identified himself to Joshua as the commander of the Lord's army. Who's that? At his arrest, you might remember when Jesus told the disciples, I could call on my Father to send more than 12 legions of angels to help me now. A legion is 6,000. 12 times 6,000 is 72,000 angels at Jesus' beck and call. Revelation 19:14 actually identifies the commander of the Lord's army. It says, then I saw heaven open, a white horse standing there. The one sitting on the horse was named Faithful and True. His title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in finest linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. And on his robe and thigh was written this title, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The commander of heaven's army is Jesus Christ. And the commander of the Lord's army gave orders to the commander of Israel's army. Joshua was in God's chain of command, and he gave orders to the people that God gave to him. Well, God gave Joshua his promise, and it was an interesting promise. By the way, there's 8,810 promises in the Bible. I didn't count them. I just took it by faith. 991 promises are made from one man to another man. 290 promises are made from a man to God. 21 promises are made by angels. One promise is made from a man to an angel. Two promises are made from an evil spirit to God. Nine promises are made by Satan. I don't think I'd take any value in that. But 7,487 promises are made by God to mankind. And do you know how many of those promises are true? All. Yes. He made a promise to Joshua. And after wandering 40 years in the wilderness, the first major city that was over the Jordan River in the Promised Land was Jericho. The Lord said to Joshua, Jericho and its king, all its mighty warriors are already defeated, for I have given them to you. I've given Jericho to you. But the battle hadn't been fought yet. The walls were still standing, but God spoke of it like it was a done deal. And the very moment that Joshua put his faith in God and those promises, his victory was assured. And the moment we put our faith in Jesus and his promises, our victory is assured as well. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. There's a song by that. Joshua believed God's promise. He obeyed it as if he'd already received it. God said, I'm going to give you Jericho. In fact, I've given it to you. He didn't say how and when that was going to happen. And God gave battle plans that couldn't possibly succeed. A mom asked her son what he had learned in Sunday school. He said, our teacher told us how Joshua defeated Jericho. He had his army advance with tanks. Engineers built a pontoon bridge that allowed them to cross the moat that surrounded the city. Then Joshua radioed headquarters for reinforcements. Then they sent bombers to blow up the city. That's how Joshua won the battle. Mom said, "Is that what your teacher taught you?" And he said, "No, but if I told you the story the teacher did, you'd never believe it." Generals are supposed to inspire confidence in their leaders. And what do you imagine the soldiers were thinking when they heard Joshua's marching orders and plan? But they knew their parents had died in the wilderness for not listening to this very same man, Joshua. Plus, they had just crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They decided they'd better obey God's commands this time around. Because, you know, you can never please God without faith, without depending on Him. God said, give Jericho the silent treatment. And sometimes silence is louder than words. God told Joshua, who told Israel, let there be complete silence, except for the trumpets. Joshua commanded not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout, then shout. March around the city once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day. And probably the people of Jericho were afraid of Israel on that first day, what they might do. But each day thereafter, they would become bolder and might joke and might have taunted Israel. March around with one word in silence. The silent treatment. And you probably heard the old story about a husband and wife who were giving each other the silent treatment. And not wanting to break the silence, the husband wrote a note for his wife to wake him at 5 o'clock in the morning. He had a flight. But he woke up at 7 a.m. He'd missed his flight. He noticed a note by the bed that says, it's 5 a.m., wake up. And if we ignore the still small voice in our head that might be God, that voice will go silent. The quieter that we become, the better we can hear. Day after day, the army of Israel had time to think. They marched in silence, each man alone in his thoughts. Reminds you of that scripture that says, be still and know that I am God.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
Rahab and the people of Jericho, Joshua, the Israelites pondered the God of Israel in their silence. And faith is obeying God before we understand how it's going to work out. Our text says faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we can't see. And you know, God's will for our life is better than our will for our own life. Jericho was the first big test in the Promised Land. The Canaanites and all the other cities were watching what would happen to that heavily fortified city of Jericho, because if Jericho fell, nothing could stop the God of Israel. And if miracles accompanied Israel's victory, everyone would know that really the battle belongs to the Lord. Israel, you look at the news, Israel's at war again today by the same exact nations that surround it. If you read Psalm 83, it lists all the nations in Psalm 83 that's against Israel today. And we need to pray for Israel, but that God will deliver in such a way that he gets the credit, that the nations of the world will see that they still have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and is still the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Israel's army is estimated to have numbered up to, towards 2 million soldiers. And conventional wisdom would say, well, build siege ramps that will go over the double walls or starve them out, wait them out. But God told Joshua, who told his captains, march around the city once with all the armed men, do this for 6 days. And behind the soldiers, have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. The Ark of the Covenant was located right in the middle of the army. Israel was carrying this mystery box, 45 inches long, the Ark was, 27 inches wide, 27 inches high, but it was the most powerful object this world will ever see. Looked about the size of a seaman's chest. It's covered in gold, topped with two large golden angels, and it was carried by poles that were inserted through rings on the side. But that box contained more firepower than a hydrogen bomb. And it was right in the middle of the procession to show that God was in the middle of his people. Israel wasn't protecting that ark of the covenant. The ark was protecting God's people. And when we put God where he belongs in the middle of our life, he can give us the victory too. Because if God isn't in it, we're not going to win it. Not ultimately. Jehovah Shema means God is there. But Joshua obeyed completely, exactly, and the people obeyed exactly this time. Deuteronomy 5 says, be careful what you do, that the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Stay on target. God's ways are different than ours. Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Romans 11:33, God's riches, wisdom, and knowledge are so deep, it's impossible to explain his decisions or to understand his ways. So good luck on predicting God. A lot of televangelists do it all the time. Whatever. God seldom repeats his methods. He's infinitely creative. It says in 1 Corinthians 1 that God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the strong, the lowly things of this world, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are so that no one may boast before him. So if you do a recap, God works through foolish, weak, lowly, despised things, meaning he can work through us. God's weapons aren't like ours. Though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So on the outside, it looked like God defeated Jericho with trumpets, marching, and shouts. And his divine power. Give a shout to the Lord. That's what Joshua said the seventh time around when the priests sound the trumpet blast. Joshua commanded the army, shout. For the Lord has given you the city. And the summation of it all here in Hebrews 11 says, it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came tumbling down. I think the song says, Joshua was the hero, and Rahab was the heroine of the story. Previously, Joshua had sent 2 spies into Jericho. They went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. By the way, some commentators say, well, she was an innkeeper. That's not what the Hebrew word means at all. And in those days, only men were innkeepers. She was a prostitute, but she was seeking the Lord in her heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. Her house was built in the wall of Jericho, and she hid the spies that Joshua had sent. And before the spies laid down, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know the Lord has given you this land, that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear. Everyone's courage failed because of you, and this is the key, for the Lord your God is God, in heaven above and on earth below. That's why the scriptures say, faith led the prostitute Rahab to welcome the spies as friends. She wasn't killed with those who refused to obey God. She had examined the evidence and became a believer in the God of Israel and placed her faith in him and then pledged her life to God. She made a deal with the spies. It says in Joshua 2:12, I've shown you kindness, so I beg you to promise me by the Lord that you will show kindness to those of my father's house. Save us from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours. If you don't tell anyone what we're doing, we will be faithful and show you kindness when the Lord gives us the land. She asked to be saved. And the sign of the salvation was a scarlet robe. And actually, the movie was wrong. It showed it over the door. It was actually over the window. You should tell the producers they got it wrong. Joshua 2:17, before they left, the men told her, we will be bound by the oath we've taken only if you follow these instructions. It's important. When you come into the land, when we come into the land, you must leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down, and all your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be inside the house. If they go out into the street and are killed, it won't be our fault. If anyone lays a hand on people inside this house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we're not bound by this oath in any way. I accept your terms, she replied, and sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. And that same rope saved the spies, and it saved Rahab. The red cord in the window had to be visible from the outside. That was the instructions. And it was a sign of outward obedience, and there was no substitutions allowed. They said, leave the scarlet rope in the window. She couldn't have put a blue in there, or a yellow one, or a scarf, or put it on the door, or substituted anything else and still be saved. Red symbolized sin. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll make them as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, I'll make them white as wool. Red also symbolized blood. And it was 40 years prior to this that God told Israel to apply the blood of the lamb to the doorposts. And when the blood was applied, the angel of death would pass over that home, Passover. The family remained inside, even as Rahab's family had to stay inside in order to be saved. And the end of one story began another story. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house, bring her out, and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family. Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. Don't you love a happy ending to a story? She left a life of prostitution, married a man, the Bible's names as Salmon, not Salmon the fish, Salmon. And Matthew 1, verse 5, starting the new covenant, five verses in, says, Salmon and Rahab, there she is, were the father and mother of Boaz. Boaz and Ruth were the father and mother of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. David and Uriah's wife Bathsheba were the father and mother of Solomon. You fast forward 10 verses in this same Matthew chapter 1, and it concludes, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called Messiah. Rahab is in the lineage of Messiah, which means we can be in the depths of sin, but end up with right choices on the heights with God. God saved Rahab because her actions were working with her faith. It wasn't just words. She turned to the God of Israel, and that turn word is repent. She obeyed. She was saved. And I'll end with this scripture. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's no substitutions allowed. We are in, we are out. We will be on God's side if we obey him and what he commands.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.